thanks for your patience. I know you all have been waiting around. We attempted to alert you that the board meeting would probably last until 2 o'clock, and in fact, it did. I am going to try to give you some prepared remarks that I hope will address most of your questions. And if I don't, I'll be happy to spend a little bit of time with you answering a reasonable number of reasonable questions when I'm done. So I think you understand that we have just concluded a meeting of the University Healthcare Board, and I'm pleased to indicate that representatives of all of our member organizations were present. This includes Norton Healthcare, Jewish and St. Mary's Healthcare, University Medical Center, the University of Louisville Medical School Practice Association, and the Louisville-Jefferson County Primary Care Association. So I'd like to begin by reminding everyone, as I did in the newspaper on Sunday, and I appreciate the accurate quotes, that I believe we have done some things very well. And that is that for the 15 counties served by the Passport Health Plan and the 165,000 members that we serve every day and that rely on us for their health care, I think that we have created a nationally recognized medical home model, wellness oriented Medicaid HMO that by all measurable standards has been overwhelmingly successful. I'll give you just one modest example. When we launched this program in 1997, of the tens of thousands of children served by this program, 17% of them were receiving the Academy of Pediatrics mandated well child care schedule. Today, over 95% of those children are receiving that well child care. That's just one metric on which our success and our national recognition has been achieved. As I hope I have adequately represented during my formal response to the auditor, we appreciate the auditor's time and her attention, and the University Healthcare Board takes her findings very seriously. We realize there are a number of things that we could have done better in managing the day-to-day oversight of the program. We have made some mistakes. We apologize for those mistakes, and we're going to correct those mistakes. With respect to the issue of expenditures, which seem to be a major focus, the board is taking the position that if $1 of state money was misspent, that's a dollar too much. And we will have a process to address that issue retrospectively and prospectively. I want to speak to an issue of governance change that the board discussed and approved today, which I think is a major step forward for us. I would point out that when we formed this organization in 1997, we had never, any of the members, done anything like this before. We were asked to create a provider-sponsored, at-risk Medicaid HMO that is essentially an insurance company. None of the members were in the insurance business. We didn't necessarily want to create the bureaucracy for an insurance business. We went to the national marketplace. We had a competitive RFP process. We selected AmeriHealth Mercy as a third-party administrator. And we delegated most of our administrative functions. It seemed to be a reasonable approach for a young, emerging organization. I think we have learned through the audit that it does not serve us adequately as a mature organization. We have operated with a position that I occupy of chairman of the board and CEO. Today, the board approved dividing those positions and initiating a search for an interim full-time chief executive officer. This will be someone with the reputation and the skills to lead the organization and the board in a deliberative response to the audit, as well as to lead us in the day-to-day operations of the board. Our goal will be to have an individual in place by the end of the month, if humanly possible. The board will empower the interim CEO to make recommendations regarding organizational changes needed to ensure the continued success of the plan. And as I said previously, to respond to all elements of the audit. When that position is filled, and I hope it's soon, I will step down from the role as chief executive officer. Let me say just a word about my personal plans. Some of you may realize, some of you may not, that last February, well before an audit was even under discussion, much less conducted, recognizing I'm approaching my 67th birthday and I had served 6 full years as Executive Vice President for Health Affairs for the University of Louisville, I told Dr. Ramsey that I wanted to step down from that position. I'm not retiring from the faculty. I hope I'm going back to pediatrics, but I am stepping down. And I've indicated to him that I wish to be out of that position no later than June 30th, 2011, about 6 to 7 months from now. I currently serve as chairman of the board of University Healthcare, doing business as Passport, and I serve at the pleasure of the board. It is up to the board to determine what is best for the organization. What is important to me is that we have a seamless transition. I would and have expressed my intent, synchronous with stepping down as Executive Vice President, obviously to also step down as Chairman of the Passport Board. This is not about me. What is important to me is the survival and the prosperity of this plan that I've invested a lot of my professional time and effort in. And so I hope that expresses my personal intentions. Let me cover a few other actions taken today by the board. The board will be meeting with the cabinet secretary per her request within the next few weeks. We are actively working to schedule that meeting. We already are acting upon many of the issues raised in the auditor's report and will continue to do so. Next, effective immediately, all travel, meals, and other expenses will be monitored or pre-approved by the board or a committee of the board. We will ensure that each expense has a legitimate business purpose. We will collaborate with the cabinet on a review of previous expenditures, and we welcome that opportunity. Next, the board has confirmed that all conflicts of interest with current management have been eliminated. There are no outside consulting agreements between current management and passport vendors. Next, the board acknowledged that while not-for-profit 501c3s, as we are permitted to engage in lobbying activities, it is clear that we need to evaluate our current contracts and make necessary changes. We take this matter very seriously, and the board will address it in a deliberative but expedient fashion. These announcements build on changes that we have already implemented. We are currently utilizing an outside consultant to review the compensation structure for our current and future employees. To enhance oversight over operations, we are creating an appropriate infrastructure for Passport and moving positions from the third-party administrator to positions within UHC Passport, including a chief financial officer, and creating an internal audit function. We are reviewing all contracts for services such as public relations activities to determine their appropriateness. While this is not an exhaustive list of all actions to be taken, we are addressing each of the findings from the audit and making changes. Some changes will come about more quickly than others. Some will require a more deliberative process, but I assure you that each finding will be addressed in an efficient, deliberative, and expedient fashion. I think we've established a strong record of success in providing the best care for the least fortunate. We'll keep doing that because that's what we do best. And our daily operations, we hope, will soon match the quality of the healthcare services that we provide. So I thank you for your patience in allowing me to give you those prepared remarks, and I'll try to respond to some questions.
Dr. Cook, real quickly about your situation, just to make sure I'm clear on this. When this interim CEO is selected, then you will step down, that person will be put into place in that role.
Absolutely.
And you expect that before the end of this month?
I am.
Or hope to, at least.
We are hopeful that we will be able to achieve that by the end of this month. And we'll certainly be excited about communicating that information to you, including information about that individual.
And in terms of the chairing the board, that's something you... Is it the pleasure of the board itself?
Absolutely.
It makes that decision.
Absolutely.
But it's your intention when you leave the vice president's job to step down from that role?
Of course.
Whenever that would come.
First of all, I'm leaving the vice president's position because I'm 67 and I have grandchildren and I have things that I want to do. You know, the chairman of the board needs to be vested in someone who is full-time, and I would not intend to be full-time. So, yes, that, independent of the audit, that was always my intention, that when I stepped down as vice president, I would step down as chairman of the board. I've made it clear to the board that I understand I serve at their pleasure, that I do not want to desert my responsibilities. I take that obligation very seriously, that I've invested a lot in this program and that I would like to see a seamless transition to the next chairman of the board. And if the board decides that that should occur in December or February or March, that's totally acceptable to me. What is important to me is the program. This is not about me.
Was there discussion at this meeting about replacement, immediate replacement, or very soon action of the executive vice president or associate vice president? And if so, what was decided on along those lines?
No actions were taken on either position. I think you understand that we have almost no dedicated employed staff at UHC. The board discussed the reality that if we are going to fulfill the expectations of the auditor, and if we are going to be responsive to the auditor, and if we believe that responsiveness in part involves moving responsibilities previously delegated to a third-party administrator to more board-directed activities, then we need to retain in an appropriate fashion the few people we have who understand our enterprise. Having said that, in referring to consultant activities, in referring to travel activities, life will obviously change for all of our current and future employed people. Life will change for the board. They are going to have to become much more corporate, much more involved than simply oversight. I think it's obvious that in creating an interim CEO, all other employees will report to that interim CEO, including the executive and the assistant vice president.
You mentioned that you guys discussed the fact that maybe it isn't quite appropriate to have a third party vendor. Are you severing your contract?
No, absolutely not.
Or is it just maybe changing some
of the... No, I mean, we through AmeriHealth, I mean, we employ, what, Jill, 300 people? I mean, we have front office functions, back office functions, we would have to basically create an insurance company. So what I was saying was not intended to be critical of AmeriHealth Mercy, but we delegated those responsibilities. I'm saying that I think we had good reason to do that when we founded, but 13 years later, we probably should have recognized sooner than we did that we would be better served by taking some of those functions in-house. I've mentioned an internal audit function. I've mentioned a chief financial officer. I've mentioned public relations. I think there are aspects that the board, through its interim and ultimately permanent CEO, needs to have under their direct purview, reporting and accountable directly to them. I cannot possibly envision a time when we would not have a third-party administrator or administrators, plural, to perform a large menu of functions.
Doctor, on the lobbying costs issue, how far did you all go with that? You basically are reviewing all of that spending in that area, but no specific level of reduction.
Yeah, I mean, Tom, we had a lot on our plate for a two-hour meeting today, and there's a lot coming at us. And I think we said in our response to the auditor that there's some things in there that we disagree with completely, and like travel and so forth, we take immediate action. There are others that are that require more deliberation. I think we are well aware that the public sentiment is negative about our lobbying activities. We intend to be responsive to that public sentiment. We recognize that 501c3s, as we are, not-for-profit organizations, are allowed to have lobbying. They have spending limits on that lobbying. I'm not an expert on those legalities, but I think it's safe to say that we will evaluate those lobbying activities, and they will likely be very significantly reduced, if not eliminated. That's the most I can say to you, honestly, at this point in time. We have not been able to go any further.
Dr. Cook, up till now, has there just not been in place any kind of, when it comes to the expenditures and the, you know, with the hotels and the food and with travel, there just hadn't been anything in place as far as concrete policies and procedures as to what can be spent and when? It was just pretty much as the employees were doing what they were doing, they were...
No, I think that's not accurate. I think we did have policies in place, but obviously they weren't adequate. And so I think also we delegated a lot of that to AmeriHealth Mercy. I think one of the things that happened with our expenditures, and again, I have no intention today of getting into a line-by-line defense of those expenditures. As I've said, if $1 was inappropriately spent, that's a problem, okay? I think we understand that we will engage in a process with the cabinet to review those. We really welcome that. I think it's inevitable that many, if not most, will be identified once we've had time to provide documentation to have legitimate business purpose. For example, most of our delegated third-party functions are not located in Louisville. They're in Florida, they're in Philadelphia. I mean, it's appropriate for our people to travel to interact with and monitor those people. So, you know, suffice it to say, we welcome the review. We did have procedures in place. They obviously were not sufficient, and they will be sufficient going forward. All of the member organizations are familiar with the concept. We should have dealt with it in a better fashion. We didn't. We're sorry we didn't. We're gonna fix that problem.
When you say that you're gonna fix that problem, and if it's not a reasonable business expense, does that mean that passport would pay the state back?
We will not have to pay the state back. We will not do any expenditures that are not legitimate business function.
Well, I'm saying, like, if you're doing a review of the previous ones that you called into question, would you guys pay it?
Well, I think that's a possibility. I mean, you know, we'll work with the cabinet, and if they think that that's an appropriate thing for us to do, I presume we'll do it.
Doctor, we talked about expenses. We talked about the conflicts of interest. What about the issue of transfers of parts of your reserve fund that are questioned in the audit? Is that a topic that was addressed in the meeting? And if so, was there any action taken on that aspect?
No. Number one, it was not addressed in the meeting. And number two, no action was taken on it. I refer you to a very precise response to that issue in our responses to the auditor. I mean, in summary, we had an outside auditor look at the appropriateness of that. We had an independent legal opinion. I had a specific conversation with the secretary. She imposed one condition on me, and that was that we consult with the Department of Insurance. We consulted in writing with the Department of Insurance. The Department of Insurance approved those distributions, and they were made. We feel we exercised all due process. We do not feel we violated IRS rules or Kentucky law. And, you know, I'm certain that issue will be explored by the parties.
Prospectively, would such transfers be done into the future as far as?
I think that that will be predominantly determined by the review of the previous ones and by the cabinet. You know, I can assure you if they are done, they would be done, you know, with, again, consent of all the appropriate parties and with a lot more transparency.
I have a press release for everybody. I know Dr. Cook.
I'm going to have to go. I'm trying to be responsive, but I've got other things, and I think we've covered most of the topics. Tom, are you okay?
The issue of replacing Shannon Turner.
I've already addressed that.
Was a motion made in that regard at this meeting at all?
A motion was not made.
Okay.
I think I've given you a very fair response to that issue. You know, we are. I think I've given you that response. Okay? Thank you all for your patience and your presence.